And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can also listen to the show again if you miss part of it or if you're on your way to dinner in the car. You go to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. And when you're there, you can go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas and listen to all of the shows. And you can see blurbs about like who was on the show and all that stuff. So, and also while you're on the NAGB website, I recommend highly that you go to the calendar and you see what else is happening at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, because we always have something going on. We have talks, we have tours, we have all kinds of things, and they are all listed on our calendar. So in May, we have upcoming two new openings. Our openings are always open to the public. On May 2nd, we're opening a Chan Pratt retrospective and a solo show of Tessa Whitehead, who is a young up-and-coming Bahamian artist. And actually, Lillian, rather embarrassingly, we realized looking through our archives, Tessa's show is the first major, major show of a woman we've had solo at the National Art Gallery in 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, all the big, I mean, it's not big, it's in the ballroom, so it's not the whole upper floor. Mm-hmm. But when we looked back over our archive, you know, most of the people that had solo shows, like big solo shows, there were, you know, Stan Burnside, Chan Pratt, all these male names.
Yeah.
And we realized that, you know, while we've had and we've worked really hard over the last, you know, 8 years very intentionally about being inclusive, so that the national exhibition that I did with John Cox in 2012, when he was the chief curator, was the first national exhibition to be split 50-50 mm-hmm. between male and female artists. And actually, this last NE was actually 60-40 on the side of women. So we've definitely yeah. been kind of trying to expand that conversation. And when we had the Master Artist Show, John curated a show downstairs called Single Sex, which was all women. But, you know, when we were like just looking at the, you know, past calendars, we were like, wow, this is actually the first kind of major solo
yeah,
show.
I'm seeing a whole lot more.
Yeah. But I mean, it's really kind of amazing how that happens, right? And you yeah. even when you're being intentional, you're like, wow, we actually haven't done a solo show of yeah. a female artist, you know? So that's kind of why I asked the question about how it was kind of coming up when you were young, because I can't think of that many of your peers.
Yeah, it wasn't many.
I mean, Kendra Frorup is probably around age,
yeah,
I would imagine.
I've seen her name, but I didn't yeah. know her.
Yeah.
I just recently met her and yeah. got to know her.
Yeah, what a really amazing person. Mm-hmm. I think also because so many artists have to go away to make their living, yeah. that also, you know, while we have a sense of community, while we're all up and coming, sort of, I think only now are kind of artists able, I mean, there's more places you can work to. I mean, whether it's Bahama or the National Art Gallery or, you know, Central Bank, there's becoming more spaces that can show your work or mm-hmm. or even employ you if you do something, yeah. You know, do something outside of just making art. But I think, you know, back, you know, we're talking about the late 90s, early 2000s, there wasn't so much here. Like, you had to go mm-hmm. and make your way, really,
yeah.
somewhere else.
Yeah.
So did you then decide when you finished college that, like, how did you end up living in Atlanta? Did you make a decision that you wouldn't come
no,
home?
I didn't,
or was
I didn't
it just
make
kind
a
of,
decision. Yeah. It's amazing.
Life just kind of happens, right?
Yeah, yeah. My daughter came along mm-hmm. and that I stayed
yeah.
because
yeah.
it was like, do we move back here mm-hmm. or do we stay? And mm-hmm. it just didn't seem feasible for us to move here and be
yeah.
able to, like, really survive, because he was in real estate,
mm-hmm.
and so he just decided to stay in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And when did your work, because I was surprised, because like I said to the audience, when I first came across your work, you were already making the work, which I think you're, more people know you for now, which are these kind of, and it's interesting that you said you did textile design, because when I look at them, they look like tapestries to me.
Yeah.
They're like painted tapestries, or they're assembled tapestries.
Yeah, I love pattern, and so I integrated a lot of textural, like visual texture
mm-hmm.
and patterns into the paintings. And mm-hmm. the paintings aren't really like serious subject matter. They were like excuses for me to be able to do what I really wanted to do, mm-hmm. which was all of this beautiful
right.
like, so, tapestry type.
Yeah,
of
so it was interesting when I came back home and then I was looking in people's collections and looking at our collection, and I was like, I'd see a painting and it was a good painting, but I'd be like, oh, I wonder who that is. Oh my God, that's Lillian Blades? Because they were figurative. They were sort of...
So I would look at just botanical type subject matter or sculptural, like art history type of like reinterpreting master paintings, or it'll be still lives. It would range all over the place. I didn't really have a strong statement that I wanted to make. I just knew I wanted to make art.
But it's interesting. Mm-hmm. That happens to a lot of artists coming up. Is it's normal to look at the people before you, and you see in a lot of work that people are basically, I don't want to say copying, but they're trying to find their own voice, but they're using the format that someone else used before them. So whether that's still life or whether that's landscape painting, you're like, oh, well, that's what art is. I guess I have to do that. And then normally after maybe about 10 years, 15 years, you know, you start to see this kind of, well, hey, maybe.
Well, it helps you. It's like saying Goo Gaga until you find your visual language.
So how did you find your visual language, which is for the audience, it's, you know, so some of the first early works I saw at Lillian's were, they're basically like quilt making with bits of objects or painting. So you'd paint like a little tiny painting, but you would attach that to another tiny painting, and then you'd attach that to a found frame that you painted a color. And they were kind of these assemblages, and they were in the format of a painting. They were square, and they hung on a wall, and they were not flat, but they were. But basically, it was an assemblage of objects.
I see it like.
How did you get there?
Wow, it's, well, when I was at Georgia State, my professor Larry Walker was actually Kara Walker's father.
Oh wow! Okay.
He challenged me, and he said, "You don't have to be so literal with these mother and child paintings, you know, because
right? Mother and child, Madonna and we grew up with.
In oils, and so I started painting over all of these paintings and started sewing them into dresses. So I figured my mom was a seamstress, so I my mom died in childbirth, so it's like I felt like that was something that I felt like I wanted to address, you know,
and connect with her somehow.
Yeah, and pay homage to her as a creative person. And
well, that's also something I realized doing this show. I talked to a lot of Bahamian artists, and very often their parents were creative, but the parents might not have known it. In the same way that they weren't, because they weren't allowed to know it somehow.
She was the best seamstress on this island. Yeah. And so I've heard from many people.
Amazing. Yeah,
she, yeah. Yeah, and she made bridal party dresses, smock christening gowns.
Wow.
And yeah, she did a lot, and I've heard a lot from a lot of people about her. So I kind of wanted to tap into what she's done and take it to another level. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started
sewing
the... cutting up the paintings, stitching the edges with like gold, like a gold zigzag, and then I would attach to another painting. Mm-hmm. Still trying to figure out how I'm going to approach the work, and it looked quilt like. And I was living in the South, and quilting is a big deal. I love the African American more improv.
Yeah,
type
and then there's
of,
such a history there too with the quilting as well, connected to the Underground Railroad and.
Yeah, it's really rich, and I love the fact that it's done mainly by women, and they come together like in a community, similar to how Chow Canoe is when we come together and work on a costume, like in a shack. So I decided I'm going to take that approach. So after I started putting the paintings into the dress format, I started putting them together in a quilt-like format, and it kind of accidentally came together in my studio on the wall because they were meant to be in a dress. But then in a critique, they were like, oh, we love the quilt-like format. It's speaking to...
Wow.
So it kind of...
So it almost happened accidentally in a way. Maybe it's more like fate or destiny.
Yeah, and so there were all these small little pieces that I would have sewn together in a dress form. So I decided I'm gonna make it quilt like but still have the spaces in between, like the niches. They were still on the frames, and I decided I would join them together with nails and wire, so that would look like the stitching. So I attached it from the front and the back, and then I would collect objects that I've connected to that related either to the Bahamas, being in the South, or West Africa. So
Again, kind of creating in a way a patchwork of the history, right? Because the history is a patchwork.
And I
somehow
was learning a lot about about history, about mm-hmm. that my like roots in Africa, and you mm-hmm. know, it was something that I wanted to pull together and mm-hmm. and see the connection that that goes way beyond just my mother, but ancestral mothers, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and so I felt like I was doing it the right way mm-hmm. in that format. So
it's interesting too that you brought up Junkanoo, because also when you look at that work, you do think of that, even though mm-hmm. it's got nothing to do with making costumes. Like, it doesn't have, you know, crepe paper or any of those things, but you do see this kind of this idea of taking scraps somehow mm-hmm. and making something beautiful out of it. Mm-hmm. Also sort of connects to that heritage as well.
Yeah, like the Egungun costumes in Yoruba, it's a festival that's very similar to Junkanoo in mm-hmm. a way, but it celebrates our ancestors. Mm-hmm. So it's a fringe-like quality as well, mm-hmm. and they whirl around. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a possession of like the ancestors being mounted onto the person with the costume. Mm-hmm. So in Junkanoo, we don't say that, but I feel like it is a connection.
I think it must be. Again, I think there's something very deeply spiritual about Junkanoo, because even from a physical standpoint, you can't do that for 3 hours in a costume that heavy unless you have tapped into something greater than you. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something in the music and there's something in the performance that really takes you. It's like whirling dervishes, right? Mm-hmm. There's all these different aspects of different religions in the world where you sort of give yourself over to a spirit somehow.
Yeah, and like I think in Santeria and Condemble and all that, you don't talk about it. You know, it's you just don't.
Yeah, I know, so. It's interesting. Yeah. But it seems kind of obvious almost, you know. I mean, when you watch it, you're kind of like...
Your body knows more so than your brain.
Exactly. So that's really interesting. So that's how you found your way to it. Because I always wondered, like, how did she go from that to that? Because it's such a leap. I mean, you're looking at these very... I mean, they're not traditional works and that they really look like they're very unique. I mean, they have a voice that's very unique.
Yeah.
And they're good paintings, but they're...
Like, they're quilts. But they have niches and holes in it. Because I feel like I am trying to piece together all the little fragments of information that I know about myself.
Yeah,
like I see my life and my connection with my mom, who I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that she had passed until I was 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's just like a lot of...
Because they thought it would be too traumatic for you to know that
they didn't
want
to confuse me.
Yeah.
So it's like when I went to college and started to find out about our history.
It's like, wow,
this is amazing. Like, it's like, I
found out my dad was adopted when I was 22. So,
wow.
And I'm like, you never thought you should tell me that. And anyway, so, and I've been piecing, because again, he was born to a Bahamian here, a Anglo Bahamian. And, but his mother married someone else who adopted him, and I thought for the longest time that guy was my grandfather, but he wasn't.
My dad was my uncle. And then one day I was running with my cousins, and they were like, hey Uncle Carl, and I was like, hey Uncle Carl, and he's like, no, you're not my, I'm not your uncle, I'm your dad.
Oh my, just like that.
And then my aunt was like, why are you telling her this?
I guess you were old enough.
This was before I was 12. And so that was one of my initial kind of confusing moments.
Okay, well, that I was going to say that had to be a bombshell. So that makes even more sense now. So you're putting together the pieces of your life in a way.
My mom's family just had a little get together last weekend or so for mm-hmm. me. And I got to meet a lot of her family that I have never met or met when I was a lot younger, and you know, so now I'm
and didn't know they were that immediate family. So mm-hmm. wow, that's an amazing story.
So how we came over in slave ships and we kind of lost
your family.
So it's the same as, especially like Black people, I feel like we're piecing together our
history, of course,
as well.
Like, what? Because again, like, Africa is a big continent. People say like, oh, Africa, like it's like mm-hmm. France, and you're like, no, there's like different, you know, to be from this part or that part or from this tribe or that tribe, you know, means different things. And I think only now, you know, again, there's kind of the ability even to be able to pinpoint precisely what part.
So that's why I'm
part.
Paying homage to my mom as mm-hmm. a seamstress, because I know that's like, you usually pass on a traditional trade in the family. That's something that, like, if you're born in a family of a blacksmith, you'll be a blacksmith.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I'm like, sticking to the sewing and the quilting type right. of tradition with the work.
Right.
But it's like a textural painting, like a pixelated.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want it to be very textural because I've kind of gotten bored with the flatness of the paint. I love yeah. the tactile quality.
Well, again, I think that again connects to Junkanoo and it connects mm-hmm. to a lot of
and
you know Africa
quality
exactly
of the
because
work.
You know I always say like work looks really Bahamian to me when there's a marriage between the East the European tradition and the African tradition. That to mm-hmm. me is what like when I look at certain work and I'm like that.
And I
that
love
is
abstract
Bahamian.
Expressionism.
Yeah, exactly because. And it all connects.
I
anyway.
Love the glitz of Junkanoo.
We have to go to a short break. We're going to keep talking. But we're coming back. We have 20 more minutes after the break. So Lillian and I have hit our stride. I'm talking to Lillian Blades in the studio tonight about her practice and how she discovered this form of communication within herself that connects back to her family and her ancestors. And we're going to talk more about that after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. You're listening to 96.9, and we're going to be right back after this break.